With our special guest this hour, David Cereda, we'll take your calls. We'll continue talking about this incredible story of the former Lockheed Martin senior scientist when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, David Cereda with us. David, back to the Boyd Bushman story, and then we'll take some calls as well. So you are absolutely convinced it's real.
Well, I'm convinced his science and his stories are real, and there's two more that are astounding I wanted to bring up. As far as the alien goes, I think if what he got a photograph of is a really good copy of the last remaining plasticized, you know, preserved alien body, that is possible. There's no doubt that the details on the one I'm looking at right now surpass any of the dolls by hundreds to thousands of times in accuracy and fine detail. I've never even seen Spielberg in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, still my favorite movie to this date, have this kind of detail that I'm looking at right now in some of these other photos. And these are film. These are not digital, printed on Kodak paper. But when, you know, the same year, this is 2008, that I was in Texas with Boyd, and the photos were taken earlier than that when they invited me to go out and see the alien body myself, which I turned down. Early in 2008, there was the Stephenville, Texas UFO. And this is interesting because I really nailed Boyd on this because he works for Lockheed. He's one of their top scientists, and they're right there. Lockheed has bases all over Texas. And the date on the Stephenville lights, nobody noticed this, but it's January the 8th, 2008. That's the day Tesla died. And that has to mean something because Tesla technology and Tesla's secret technology is reported to have ventured into anti-gravity and faster-than-light communication in an extra planet. He believed he was receiving messages from the planet Venus. Tesla did. He's the true father of radio. I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled June 21st, 1943, that Tesla, Lodge, and Stone are the true fathers of radio. So here's the day he died. The Stephenville UFO was reported to be a mile wide, a mile long, yeah. And it zips away at 3,000 miles an hour, and it's being escorted at one point by Lockheed fighter jets. So I asked Boyd, and I had to communicate it in a yes or no kind of code language. When I was at his house in Texas, I was told it's time for you to leave. You have to leave right now because they know you're here, and they'll basically come and get you. And I don't know who they are, but I imagine they are security for Lockheed because all of their scientists, you know, knowledge has to be secure. And Boyd was leaking out information that he shouldn't have in some cases, which I've managed to keep secure. But this particular case interests me because there were previous reports that Lockheed had developed triangular massive anti-gravity craft. And if you go to the Phoenix Lights case, where the lights are hovering above Phoenix, they're actually hovering right above Goodyear. The UFO stops and hovers right above Goodyear, Arizona.
And of course, in Phoenix, David, they said they were flares, and they said they were jets on maneuvers.
Right.
All that bunch of bunk.
But the witnesses saw the same thing as Stephenville. And guess what's in Goodyear, Arizona, a Lockheed base right down on the ground. Now, I know personally military individuals that have told me about an event that occurs on certain bases, one base in Utah, where this massive Delta Blackwing craft comes swooping down. Most of the employees have to be on the ground with blankets over their head. They're not allowed to see this thing. But this particular individual was high-ranking military, and he said he saw it. And this thing was so fast and so huge and completely black, massive triangle. So there's corroborating testimony what Boyd's about to tell me. So he tells me that the Stephenville UFO is actually a Lockheed craft. It's being test flown on January the 8th, and that's symbolic because that's the day Tesla died. And its mission is to go out and divert an asteroid or meteor that is threatening Earth. And NASA knows it's going to hit Earth. And this was all over the news. I'm trying to remember the name of that particular threat. But Boyd said, I had to do this yes and no language with him. And he said, yes, that's what its mission was. It was to remove the threat, to use a tractor beam and move it and change its orbit. So, you know, these emails went on and on for years. Near the end of Boyd's, the last couple of years of Boyd's life, he really was involved with a group of people who were ex-military engineers who had developed their own anti-gravity craft, and they were on having routine missions to the nine planets. And it seemed so fantastic. It was so hard to believe these emails I was getting. And there are many of us who were on Boyd's list. So we all know that the story that he's saying, he's sharing the knowledge of whatever these missions were. But there was something in the technology that was compromising the health of the pilots, because many of them seemed to develop things like cancer.
Oh, really?
Now, this goes back to the Cash Landrum incident, once again in Texas, where Betty Cash and I think her John Schuster wrote the book on the Cash Landrum incident.
They came down with something, didn't they? There were helicopters
pursuing an anti-gravity craft that was hot. It was emitting nuclear radiation, and Betty Cash got radiation burns. And there was some compromised health there, and Boyd confirmed that was one of ours. And he said, we know that we need to improve our technology. We know we're using nuclear fissible materials in a different way, not in the way you'd normally produce nuclear power, which is just to boil water and turn a steam generator. They're using it in a different way, but it's compromising the health of the pilots. And Betty Cash was just a victim in that particular case. And there's another case, some of the best modern footage of UFO I've ever seen in Denton, Texas, which is very close to Lockheed and NASA's headquarters. And this individual was a prison guard. And his footage was probably the best footage of a modern UFO I've ever seen. And that was confirmed that was absolutely one of ours, Lockheed's, because, you know, white vans came and they cleaned up the site. The guy's dog died of radiation burns, and his two daughters got radiation burns in their eyes, and they had to get medical procedures. And his video camera was damaged by the radiation coming from the craft, from this particular footage. Now, this footage is locked up now. Nobody's seen it. It's owned by Open Minds, and they haven't done anything with it. But it's an amazing case, and that was confirmed. So we know we have radioactive anti-gravitic power sources. We have extremely large delta wing. Just Lockheed makes, you know, delta wing aircraft, the B-1, the B-2. But they make them much larger using anti-gravity. And Boyd worked on those programs. He told me the biggest frustration with all the scientists at Lockheed who all know about Roswell, who all know about Area 51, is that they can't get these generals who authorize funding to spend any money on how to really reverse engineer the technology to a higher level. He said it's just sitting there. And the security, there are periods where the security is very low. And those low security periods are where they claim they brought a plastic camera in and took these photos that eventually turned into dolls. So it's a very confusing story, but that's Boyd Bushman's life in a nutshell. And near the end, just before he died, he really got mystified by the discovery that I made in the Great Pyramid frequencies and the 5151 scale, and how that related to Area 51. You know, why was Area 51 called Area 51, and the mystery frequencies in the Great Pyramid are the 5-1 music scale? Which
same one, yeah.
It's the same number. So he started writing some of his other scientists about that, and they were watching my videos on YouTube, and he was very impressed and believed that faster-than-light theory that I came up with was very accurate.
Let's take a few calls here for you, David, while we can, and we'll go to Dan in New York. Dan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Daniel.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. You said something about, let me just tell you what Corso said. Corso said that he was speculating too far about robots and androids when he was writing in his report to General Trudeau. I believe very strongly that, based on so much other evidence, that these were ETs and not robots or androids at all. The other thing is, of course, from the study that Kevin Randall and Stanton Friedman and others have done, is that when they had to inquire about chemicals to preserve the bodies, and also small bodies were asked about small caskets for the bodies when they called the ballot funeral parlor. Robots do not need chemicals or caskets. Thank you.
Well, wait a second. You're talking about 1947. Yes, you would have used chemicals back then, but now there's plastics that you can preserve a body intact with, and that's why it's in such poor condition. The dark circles around the eyes, you know, the limbs have been removed at the shoulders and possibly put back on, and it's been plasticized, which is a much more permanent form of archiving a body. But had we had this new method today, I'm sure it wouldn't look so, you know, emaciated. And it's probably not what it looked like when it was full of flesh tone and vital fluids. But an artificial intelligence doesn't mean it's a machine. It has fluid. It has a brain. It probably even has a soul. But there's things about it that have been engineered. That's what I read Kurt Corso's book. I remember what he said, and he believed it was partially AI. And I think we're already partially AI because we use cell phones, so we can't communicate telepathically as well as we can communicate on our cell phones, and we hook them to our heads with these little things that go around people's ears. So you're already part AI.
Let me ask you this too, David, with Bushman and his report, of course, what made it go viral over the last few weeks when he's been talking about this way before he even passed away?
Well, see, he talked about it with me, the alien body, but I never released the video because, you know, and he was pushing me to release it. And then a friend of mine who worked on the movie Avatar with James Cameron, and he was the stuntman for the main actor, went out and filmed him. And, you know, he just didn't want to put his name on the story about the alien bodies. And Boyd was so adamant about the alien bodies. And Boyd's writing me, when is this guy going to release the movie? You know, I sent him out there. And I think Linda Howe went out there and interviewed Boyd, too. And I spent a lot of time with her on the phone. God, you know, that woman is so precise and incredibly smart. And Boyd was getting into a crystal that was in the Roswell craft. And of course, crystals are running our computers. They run all the transistor amplifiers in your computers and cell phones. They are power plants, basically, and they're frequency tuners. And he said that with the crystal in the Roswell craft was producing a huge amount of power, and they had that crystal in their possession. And I asked him for the chemical formula for that crystal, because if you knew the chemical formula, then you could artificially make them. And he wouldn't give it to me, but he did. Everything he said made sense. I mean, he knew how everything worked in electronics. He built electronics as a kid. I believe his parents owned an electronic shop, and that's how he got into it. So, you know, that's another part of the story. Linda Howe had met Boyd in person. She would be another person to ask.
Yeah, she was just on with me. Okay, let's go next to Leroy in San Diego. Hi, Leroy, go ahead.
Hi. Good night. Thank you for taking my call, Jeff.
Sure, you're very welcome.
Your conversation is really refreshing, really great. Tonight, I am an inventor. I am coming up with different type of ideas. Also, I have some ideas of anti-gravity and other type of electromagnetic levitation systems. But my question really is, Boyd is still alive, and how can I get in contact
with
him?
He's dead. No, he's not alive.
People like him.
He's not alive anymore. He's all gone. And the closest to him would be who? John Hutchison?
No, well, John knew him for a long time, but John was on his list just like I was. I mean, I spent good amount of time with Boyd in person, but mainly through the phone and the emails. John Hutchison would be another. John knows so much about anti-gravity and experimenting himself, and he knows Bushman well, definitely.
All right,
let's go. Boyd has passed away, and that's why this story has gone viral, George, because it's another
death confession. That's right. Those things are huge.
You know, millions. I think that video got over 3 million views, and the owner took it down because somebody, it looks like, stole the video and illegally posted it. So it's now removed.
How do we know that Bushman was indeed Bushman?
Well, see, that's a good question. That's a great question. Because I even thought of that at one point. I thought, you know, these alien photos, they don't add up for me 100%. You know, and I'm like, what if he's just saying he's Boyd Bushman and he's not the real Boyd Bushman?
Right.
Just like, you know, Bob Lazar said he was Bob Lazar and he worked at Area 51, but nobody at Area 51 would confirm it. And, you know, Boyd's knowledge could not be that good. I mean, I've worked with and met the best physicists on this planet, from Seaborg to Murray Gell-Mann to Bogdan Maglich to, you know, engineers that nobody knows their names. And there's no, you couldn't know that much. You just couldn't know that much about how things actually work if you were a fraud.
Next up, we go to Luke in Rochester, New York. Luke, it's your turn. Take it away. Go ahead, Luke. Well, Luke's no longer with us. Goodbye, Luke. Well, we'll chat a little bit until the bottom of the hour, and we'll come back with final calls here, David. Of all the people you've investigated, you've questioned, you've researched, how would you rate the Bushman story?
Well, see, every communication I had with him, including on the Stephenville case, it's like all the fine details always added up. It never led me in a position where I knew that scientifically what he was saying wasn't true. I mean, he told me about asteroid Apophis in, you know, that was 2004, and he said NASA knows it's going to hit Earth, and he told me where it was going to hit. And now, you know, National Geographic and other science magazines admit that there's a percentage possibility that this enormous asteroid Apophis in 2029 and 2036 or 37,
yeah,
has a good chance of hitting Earth. But when they say a good chance, it means the percentage points are higher than normal. But he said he knew that they knew that it was going to hit. But he said that before a single article ever came out about Apophis, and he said it before there was any admittance of any threat about Apophis. So,
hold on, David. We're coming back with final calls for you. Well, we call our television program Beyond Belief, and it's available to you to watch. So simply go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. It's just a great way for you to pick up some more information and to relax at home and just watch us do our thing. Beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. David Cerrato with us. David, before we take final calls, in your last program with us, of course, we talked about harmonic frequencies, states of consciousness. And tell me something about, you have 120 people working with you now. What's going on?
Yeah, I have 120 people taking my online course, and we're using our vocal cords to tone to these 10 ascending pyramid frequencies. And there's a total of 12 octaves, so that makes 120 tones. And I'm, you know, my 35 years of meditating every day, I've never personally experienced more bliss and out-of-body clear experiences than any other technique, and that is confirmed by the practitioners, because people are writing me, like I have this guy, Jan, in Norway, I think he's in. He does the tones, and he feels this tingling in his body, and he goes out of his body, and he has the same experience I have, but we're distant from each other. And this experience is so incredible because he goes out into space and he sees this this giant sacred geometry, fractaling millions of beautiful colors like a giant wheel, come from space and transmit this presence. The first night I did the tones, because I'm doing them with everybody in the online course, I had the same experience. I was out in space. I went out of my body, and this incredible wheel of light, it's almost like Ezekiel's wheel. It spins in like you were a fish under the water, and you were looking at the ripples on the surface. It transmits this spiritual grace into our dimension, and there's millions of colors of blues and violet and purple. And I feel this like I'm literally in the presence of an angel. So I realize, of course, if you look at the nine levels of the angels, the seventh heaven from the bottom or the third from the top is what are known as thrones. And thrones are the real chariots of the gods. They are the giant wheels that transport God and the angels around the universe. So they're not angels with wings. Thrones are wheels, and they describe them with thousands of eyes around the edges. In the Book of Enoch, which is one of the earliest accounts of an angelic UFO, in the very beginning of the Book of Enoch, Enoch falls asleep. He goes out of body. He describes winds elevating him as he's flying through the sky. And God, literally God, in the Old Testament, the supreme God known as the Ancient of Days, lands in this crystal flying saucer with the archangel Michael and Gabriel at his side, blazing like thousands of suns. And Enoch approaches this crystal spaceship. It's round. This is what thrones are in the Bible. And he falls flat on his face, and God tells him to stand up, and he approaches this throne, this wheel of light. And that is what I experienced right away, and that is what this particular person wrote me and had this experience. And I'm getting dozens of emails of people seeing light beings, people just feeling elation, people having beautiful visions of light and ecstasy. And we're just starting. We're only in week three right now. So it's instead of like in meditation, chanting the mantra Om, it's kind of like imagine there are different scales of Om. Like it goes higher and higher and higher and higher. So you're using your voice. And when you use your voice, you hear the three-dimensional waves spinning inside of you appear out of nowhere, and everybody's hearing it. So it takes the two-dimensional sound that we normally hear, because we only hear sound in the left and the right audio cortex, and our stereo speakers are only producing two-dimensional sound, which is just pushing a speaker in and out in two dimensions, whereas natural sound in nature, it's all spinning. You have spinning electrons, spinning planets, spinning stars. Everything is vortex sound. Well, that's what people hear when they do these tones in the course. So it's very exciting. I'm really kind of blown away at how many people are accelerating so quickly into these experiences.
That's great. That is great. All right, let's take some final calls. We'll go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Robert's with us on Coast to Coast. Robert, go ahead.
Hi, George. Fantastic show tonight.
Well, thank you,
and
sir.
Something else. I appreciate the bumper. It's great. I've been listening for quite a while. My experience with United States Marine Corps, I was in the air wing, and I worked on F-4 Phantoms and A-6A and A-4 Charlies and a bunch of helicopters. So I got some experience aerodynamically. But what you're talking about tonight is direct communication without having to experience anything else but just your mental abilities. And that's fantastic. I'm a Christian by faith, not by any denomination, just by faith.
I understand.
And I've had some experiences lately with stepping outside of time and space and directly going into the presence of God and seeing the universe from his standpoint. It's fantastic. I've never experienced anything like this in my entire life. I just wondered if partly what you're talking about tonight is that experience.
I believe it's pretty darn close, David, isn't it?
Oh, no, that sounds, you know, absolutely wonderful, you know, the caller calling in. I mean, we're here to eventually have this experience and experience God and get beyond the fear and beyond the denominations and all the arguments. You know, you just want to experience it. It's interesting because when you started the show, I was listening to the Richard Branson and the accident out at Mojave. I used to skydive out there, George, all the time. And I skydived at Edwards Air Force Base. I trained to do my high-altitude skydiving training. And the Air Force pilots out there would tell me they would see UFOs flying over the Mojave Desert all the time. And I wondered with this Virgin incident if there had been something that nobody noticed. Because that is, I mean, I jumped out there every weekend, and these military guys were jumping out of the plane and telling me stories. And, of course, if you read the old FBI files, Edwards Air Force Base, which used to be Muroc Field, is just a huge, huge place where UFOs would gather and appear in curiosity to what we were doing. In fact, when Major Bob White test flew the X-15, he described this rectangular craft going many times the speed of sound right next to him. But it wasn't aerodynamic. And there's Virgin Galactic out there, and I just wonder, you know, what brought this thing down. I'm not calling UFO or anything like that yet, but I wish Richard Branson was hip to this stuff that's going on.
Well, you know, it's been up there by, what, 50 flights, 55 flights or something like that?
Yeah. I saw one of the flights. I went out there in the early days when he did the first one, and I filmed it, and, you know, it's a guy like Branson, you know, I believe Howard Hughes was at Area 51, and that's why he lived in Vegas. But I've had many people who know Richard Branson and have tried to connect him with me, but he just doesn't seem to be open to this subject.
We go next to Darren in Galveston, Texas. Darren, you're on with David Serrato. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good,
I was in
Darren,
the Coast Road back in, well, this was in 93 when the incident happened. We were at the loop. I was the first lieutenant on the patrol boat south of Louisiana, the big petroleum loading places. But we seized the shrimp boat, and we saw, after an hour or so after I'd been on the shrimp boat, a rectangular shape in the sky. And it hovered for, I don't know, at least 30, 40 seconds. And then it shot off to the west, and all you could hear was chatter from east to west about the object just moving so quickly, and it was something I'd never seen before.
They seemed to be
rectangular.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it was rectangular. three white lights, one on, you know.
See, there's nothing aerodynamic about a rectangle. So just like Major Bob White, I mean, that was in Time magazine, a rectangle flying next to him going, you know, I forget how fast he was going, Mach 1.7 or something like that. And it's impossible for a rectangle to go that fast if it's using aerodynamics. So that's an incredible. There's nothing like testimony to me. These are great stories.
Could we have anti-gravity already, David? Us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely we have anti-gravity. That's confirmed at Lockheed, and there are many cases of that. But we're using what Boyd Bushman told me and showed me, pictures of the actual drives, the anti-gravity drives they put in winged aircraft just as decoys. He said these planes are hovering. They're not flying with their wings. But he said they produce a lot of radiation, so there's problems. There's obviously the ETs are doing it a much more advanced way to protect the pilots, because you can't survive in nuclear radiation fields with, you know, X-rays and gamma rays like that. Mainly gammas and betas, you know. And
good
point. Strong alphas are very hard on the body.
Let's go to Stephen now in Scranton, Pennsylvania, with us. Stephen, thank you for calling.
Hey George, long-time listener. I just had a question for Dave.
Sure thing.
Well, almost a two-part question. Now, did Boyd ever talk about the anatomy of these bodies? Like, I once heard that they have this film over their eyes, and that's what makes it like the black almond eyes that we know of, the grays, and that it was like something to protect their eyes, like we wear sunglasses, you know?
Right.
And I was wondering if he ever discussed that with you.
Well, if you look at, the three photos on the Coast website, and Boyd's is the one on the left, and I have one in perfect focus here, the eyes are very glossy and very, you know, they have this kind of almond, uneven shape to them, whereas the fake ones are more even teardrops. And if you go to the original alien autopsy footage of 1947, which means the bodies were fresh back then, and they weren't decayed and had all the vital fluids completely drained out of them, those eyes are almost the same shape, the slightly, and I really look for this, you really got to look for broken symmetries and where everything isn't perfectly symmetrical on the left and the right. And it's the same eyes. These are the same eyes, except you have the dark circles and everything emaciated around it. I mean, I don't know. The alien autopsy footage is iffy as well. I mean, it looks very stiff, but that's why they call a dead body a stiff. It could be military footage that was training footage. Boyd's could be a doll manufactured from the original. Just Boyd, to answer your question, also did not describe any anatomy to me because he didn't personally take these photos. A very close source of his did.
You know, David, with everything you've investigated in your career, what for you has been the single most fascinating aspect of your research?
Well, it has to go back to my own sighting in Berkeley in 1968 and seeing a craft in broad daylight with my own eyes. And then in the following weeks, identifying themselves to me behind sleep, they paralyzed my body. They were not grays. They were completely human and blonde and blue-eyed and very tall, very wonderful, kind, gentle, and educating me about how their craft worked. And I think for me, there's nothing like having your own experience, whether it's you have it on a mystical level. I think on a mystical level is more fulfilling. The most important thing is your ability to perceive and feel their presence. A lot of them that I have met in my own spiritual way are not even as evolved as we are musically and energetically with our sense of humor and all our faults and failures. Humans have so much charm, so much beauty, so much imperfection, and we have qualities in the heart that many ETs just don't have. And there's something special about being human, even though we can't seem to fly very far yet.
No, not at all, David. That is indeed true. Any speaking engagements or trips for you?
No, my online course, I'm working through the internet. I'm up here in British Columbia, you know, raising my daughter here, and I may be doing some speaking events here. I know you're coming. You're going to Toronto, aren't you?
I'm going to be in Toronto next weekend.
Oh, my God, I wish I could go there. It's just because it's right here.
I'd love to introduce you to the crowd if you ever get out there.
Well, maybe next year if you do that particular, I would like to, because I usually like to go to those things when they, you know, I'm speaking and they pay for you to get there. So
that's always nice if they pay for you
it's
to get there.
Always nice.
You know, let's go to David. Is he ready here? Nope, he is not ready yet. But, he is ready. Okay, David in Indiana. Go ahead, David. Go ahead, east of the Rockies.
My question is for your guest. He said was given an opportunity to go see these beings live, or they weren't alive, but they were, you know, he had the opportunity to go see them for himself in person. I'm wondering why he passed up that opportunity, just because he didn't want to go out for a drive, or?
You know, it's funny, because when I was a single guy, I would have done it in a heartbeat, because I wouldn't be afraid of dying, but there was talk that we had to be very secure about getting in and out of the facility, and I would be going in with knowing that maybe they would lock me up in there. I don't know. I mean, they told me where it was. They told me that they were going to meet me, and I was going to be escorted into the facility, and I turned it down because I had a wife at that time. So that's what changed everything, and now I have a baby, so I definitely wouldn't go into a facility like that. I wouldn't do it at this point.
David, how tall were these beings, according to Bushman?
Well, in the photos, I mean, I have pictures of the
feet. They look small. They look really small.
Oh, yeah, just like we were told, the Roswell bodies were, you know, three and a half, four feet tall. And, you know, I was 4'11" in grade 8, so I know what it's like to be the small guy. So these when I look at this guy, I mean, whether he's real or not, I feel everyone who sees this picture I'm holding in my hands, you can feel this, but the other doll pictures, I can't feel anything. And my feeling presence tells me either this is one heck of a good artist, better than any of the other fake ones I've seen. And whoever this artist is who made this really knows how to put feeling in this face. Because when I go to the original alien autopsy footage, I can't feel anything in that face. But this guy's little eyes, you know, he looks like a little sweetheart. He's just a little guy, you know. But something tells me he's either from a real source, or if it's an artist who made it, that artist had an experience.
David, give out your website, if you would, sir.
Yeah, my website is new. It's davidsereda, SEREDA.net. And you can start my toning course anytime you want. It goes 6 months of the year, and you can just go at your own pace. You can just write me also at davidsereda@hotmail.com.
David, your next work, what do you do next? Are you going to continue?
Well, what I'm doing now is I make these harmonic field transmitters that really reshape the energy in people's homes and offices, and I use the funding that I make to live on, but I also want to eventually get to the point that I develop a lab and I test my own anti-gravity ideas. I mean, that's
exciting. That is exciting.
That point.
You become the next Edward Leed Skolnick and invent like Coral Castle all over.
I think he know. I like I said last time. I think I know how he did it. He had the spinning magnets.
Yep.
And when you spin magnets, you get a huge magnetic field. I have one of those in my lab, so I've tested it. And then if you add the right frequencies and the right steps, they levitate. So we know how he did it. All the data is there. It's just I think I could oversee the reenactment of his experiments and test them to see.
I love it. David, thank you so much for being on the program. Always appreciate it. David Sereda, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com.